Word, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe every Christian, every conservative, everyone that studies the Bible, reads the Bible, and places faith and trust and confidence in the Bible need to recognize that it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And in Dr. Phelps' book on page 82, he says the Scriptures are incorruptible. What does it you mean by that, Dr. Phelps, incorruptible? If we use allegorization, if we use something as tradition added to the Scripture, that corrupts the Scripture. So speak to that for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at Dr. Phelps' book, Is the Bible Trustworthy? Subtitle, Can We Trust the Bible? It's a wonderful, wonderful treatise. It's a boiled down narration of the infallibility, the inspirational work of the Word of God. It's about 150 pages. It is worth the $19.99, $20. You can go online, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore and place your order for it. I believe you'll find there, if I'm not mistaken, they've already got the page uploaded that you can, for the next, I believe it was 10 days, 20 days, get 2 books for one, what they call BOGO, buy one, get one free, or get it at half price. Dr. Phelps, speak to that question for just a moment. Then we'll ask Dr. Davis a question as a follow-up. Go ahead.
Incorruptible is a word that's used by the Apostle Peter in his first chapter. It means that God's words are pure words. They are not perverted words. See, God's method of bringing about the new birth in believers involves the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God employs the Spirit of God to bring the breath of life to us, and the truth of the gospel bring the Word of life to us. And when we're born again, we call it a spiritual birth. And Jesus explained that everyone must be born again to be eligible for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And God uses the Word of God to bring us to believe. Now, being born again, then, of the incorruptible Word of God means that God begins a work in us that will not corrupt the work of God in us. Called regeneration is something that's not going to just pass away. It's going to last forever.
Absolutely. In fact, most of our listeners may be familiar with the term that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, plenary Word of God. And we're going to talk about that further in the broadcast. But Dr. Davis, if we understand the Bible is inspired, if it is incorruptible, if it is to be left in the order that God gave it to us, is there anything wrong with taking a denominational dogma and layering on top of it? Is anything wrong with adding to? What does the Bible say about adding to or taking away from the Word of God?
Well, if we consider the book of Revelation, the last chapter, I believe it is, it tells us, if we add anything to the words of this book, God is going to add the plagues that are listed in this book to your life. And if you take away anything, then your name will be taken away out of the Lamb's book of life. So certainly it's very dangerous when we consider adding anything or taking anything away from the Word of God. Again, here's what I teach all the time. The Word of God doesn't need any further explanation. Mm-hmm. All it needs after you read it is for you to obey it.
Read it and heed it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Dr. Davis, I'm glad you said that. I'm looking at Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Amen.
In fact, the eat it, if you will, that is there, in relationship to not changing it or adding to it, not only in Deuteronomy 4:2, but also in Deuteronomy 12:32, also in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, also in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, that you referred to.
Amen.
I think if the Bible says it one time, that's sufficient. But we find four times the admonition of God not to add to, take away, not to diminish, and not to add to the Word of God.
And then here's something for further encouragement. I'm talking about for believers. Mm-hmm. When you go to Revelation chapter 1, that's the only chapter in the whole Bible that promises you a blessing for reading the Word.
Reading and studying the Word.
If you will just take that to heart, I mean, basically, put him to the test.
Chapter 1, verse 4, top of the page, left column, top of the page in my Bible.
Just go ahead and challenge him. Like Malachi chapter 3 says, he says, prove me now. That's the only place in the Bible where God gives us permission to prove him. And that is tied with, if you believe in tithing to the church. Now, that's another subject for another day.
Well, goes back to Scripture. And the bottom line is, with the modification and the changing of Scripture, with the revised versions, I call it the reverse slandered versions that's out there, many of them are good for wallpapering your wall, and that's about the only thing. So when we look at Sola Scriptura, it is translated Scripture only. It's from the Latin term Sola Scriptura. But when we look at it, it happened during the Protestant Reformation. And in the Reformation, there was an attempt by the Reformers to have an understanding that it's not tradition of man, it's not what you think or say, it's not custom and tradition, it's simply the Word of God. They had an idea that was correct. The aim was on target. The reason was the argument that the Bible alone is ultimately the only trustworthy factor that we can go to. So, Dr. Phelps, when we talk about being trustworthy, what difference does it make? Aren't all Bibles alike? Aren't all translations alike? How do you respond to that? And many will say that. Well, my Bible's just as good as yours. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Only begotten is the uniquely born one, speaks directly to the virgin birth. You just simply say in John 3:16, and some translations say, God's only Son. No. It's God's only begotten, which refers to the uniqueness of the virgin birth.
Amen.
So how do you respond, Dr. Phelps, about the question, is there a difference? What difference does it make what version you use?
Well, they also say, aren't all Bibles alike, except for the modern English and the new version? And we must respond to say that the Bible is the Word of God, given by inspiration and important to faith, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and other passages. The New Age versions change the text of the Scriptures and therefore give
an
erroneous view of the Savior and of the salvation of God and many other things.
That's right.
The New Age versions claim to be easier to read and help the reader to understand more about the Bible. But the alterations actually cause or create a misunderstanding.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I believe, hold your thought for a minute. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over the question and comment, please.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about something else. I didn't know you were talking about Bible translations, so I'll talk about Bible translations. I love to ask people who believe in different translations one question, and we talked about this before, Pastor. It's Luke 10:1. In the King James, it says that Jesus sent forth 70 disciples, but in the NIV, it says Jesus sent forth 72 disciples. Now, I always like to ask them which version is correct. They both can't be correct.
Which text are you talking about? You say Luke what?
Luke 10:1.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70, also and sent them two by two to his face into every city and place whether he himself would come.
Now look at it. Look at it in the NIV.
I don't have the NIV before me. I use that to wallpaper my bathroom.
Right. But the NIV says 72.
The NIV is incorrect 100%. In fact, if I can be bold to say this, and I know it might cause some anger with some, that's okay. The NIV is about as worthless as you could put any print on any page on any paper. That's my position on it.
You know that, and the people with you know that, but 99% of Christians today don't know that.
That's because it's been so highly publicized, marketed, and distributed by a major denomination in America that makes it look as though it is legitimately okay. Dr. Phelps, what's wrong with the NIV?
Well, we believe they've changed the text.
Mm-hmm.
We must remember that the Bible is not only incorruptible, but the Bible is also, or the words of Scripture, are also words that are immutable.
Immutable.
It means unchanging. Mm-hmm. God doesn't change, and neither does his word change. God says it's established forever. God's word, according to the book of Psalms, tells us that God has written his word, and it's unchanging. It's going to be that way forever.
Absolutely. And a good illustration that I use, Dr. Phelps and Bob, you might have heard this. We take the Constitution. One of the major problems today we have is the individual to say the Constitution is a living document. Therefore, as society changes, the Constitution changes. It should be merged, modified, and, as I call it, mutilated in order to make it meet the societal needs and ideas. That's what we're doing with the Word of God. All of us as patriots and as conservatives say that you ought not to change the Constitution. It ought not to be watered down. It ought not to be modified. It ought not to be a living document. In fact, it is a dead document. It is a stale document. It is should be unchangeable. So also with the Word of God. It ought not to be one that's looked at to be modulated, modified, and changed based on culture and culture beliefs. What say you, Dr. Phelps?
Well, as I was speaking to that matter of the changes that they have made, or what difference does it make, which Bible you use, I would ask the question in response, is readability more important than reliability? Of course not. The New Age versions tend to mislead people away from real faith. And as we look into the origin of these New Age versions, the book that I have written on the Bible being trustworthy, it gives answers for us concerning
absolutely
that.
I recommend, by the way, at this point, I'd like to say to our listening audience, I recommend the book. It's about 150 pages, brand new, hot off the press. Is the Bible trustworthy? Dr. Phelps will have a book signing ceremony after the message on Sunday morning. You would perhaps like to come, hear the message, and also be involved in the book signing as he signs the autographs of the books of those that will be purchased. It'll be 2-for-1, and you can go online. I think the BOGO offer is also the same there. Dr. Davis, if a person wants to challenge the Word, if a person says, well, that's not what my Bible says, they might have a different translation or just a version. There's not the Bible, even the version, is not a translation of the Bible. It's just taking the dynamics of a thought, and it's a thought for thought, not word for word. And in a thought for thought translation, it's called the dynamic translation, or version, it is not a translation. So I say this in question to you for your response for the benefit of our listeners. I had on one occasion where I went through the plan of salvation with a dear lady. Went through it verse by verse by verse. I read it, had her to read it, and explained to her what the Scripture was saying. She said, well, that's what your Bible says. There may be a translation that says something different. How do I believe what you're saying? How do you respond to that? What should we do?
Well, here's what we need to understand as Christians, first of all. If you walk the Roman road, Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if we don't take that at face value, it will not do us any good. So here's the reason why. I don't knock people if they want to read other translations, but I try to motivate and encourage them to believe that the King James Version is the closest translation that we have to the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Amen.
Which were directly spoken mm-hmm. to the prophets and to Moses.
Amen.
As well. So we need to understand what we do when we read and start believing in other translations, and if we try to translate it ourselves, then our motives become
play
impure.
Into the picture. That's right.
And then we become vain and empty. So what we end up doing, Dr. Youngblood, in essence, we are taking away the power from the word of God to be able to do anything in our lives as God intended for it to do.
Amen. Well, I make this statement. If we take the traditions of man and add them to the scripture, or let them supersede the scripture, I simply say man is flawed, sinful, selfish, and sometimes unreliable, and therefore we cannot count on that. In fact, it goes back to, and I'll read this, and then we'll take our next caller. In Joshua, the first chapter, the 7th verse, only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all, A-L-L, the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, that is, uhodos, have a good journey wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein.
Amen.
That's pretty inclusive, all.
Amen.
Said two or three times in those couple of verses there.
Amen.
One of the things that we find today is they want to, a lot of folks want to add man's tradition, denominational tradition, and layer that on top of the scripture and try to make the scripture say what that denomination or that tradition says. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I want the opinion on you guys, because, I mean, I don't have nothing wrong with the translations of the Bible. There's so many, especially in this country. You got the homosexual, the lesbian, the non-gender translation. You got the newly inspired version, the NIV. You got, you name it. You know what I mean? You got so many Bibles. My question is, you got the Message. Oh, my God. That does, to me, remove the essence or what the Lord is trying to tell us when you mm-hmm. read it, and the Holy Spirit use that. Because they change the meaning of the words. There's some verses in the Bible that has been completely changed from the original New King James or King James Bible. And to me, that is like watered down what the Lord is trying to tell us.
That's right.
And don't get me wrong, I don't have anything wrong against, you know, translations. But we have to be very, very careful with those translations. Because sometimes, you know, it's changing it, twisting it, you know what I mean? But I think if you are guided by the Holy Spirit and you read it, the Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes and it's going to give you the interpretation. You know what I'm saying? But my point is they're trying to water down the message or the Bible. That to me is watered down the meaning of what God trying to tell us. I don't know what you take on that, but that's my comment, because I have seen some Bible that you go like, what?
Yeah, Jose. Well, Jose, I'll take a moment before we let you go. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that is protos, priority, number one. In other words, Peter is saying, first of all, recognize this, that no prophecies of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. There are a lot of folks who won't have, you know, I found this, I found the other, I saw this, God showed me this, God told me this. God hadn't shown me anything, God hadn't told me anything that's outside the parameters of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God does not add to His Word, and we're not to add to the Word or diminish from the Word. And so you're exactly right. I believe it's time we get back to the basics. Dr. Phelps, since you've just written the book, what would you say to Jose and his statements?
I say that you have a good perception, a good view of what's taking place today. I believe that many of the New Age versions, and I submit that the NIV is a good example of what we call the New Age versions. I am not familiar with the more recent versions of the scriptures, but I want to be. But the editors of the NIV subtracted words from the scriptures, like in Luke 1:28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." But the editors of the NIV subtracted the words, "Blessed art thou among women." Mm-hmm. And that confuses people, because certainly we honor the mother of Jesus, for she did as the Lord commanded her in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And the salutation, the greeting, regards Mary as one of who is blessed among women, but not above women.
Absolutely.
And they also changed so much of the Bible. And the changes then take away from the complete revelation that God has given so that we may know the truth. But they changed many of the words in the scriptures, and thus making or revising the text of the Word of God. We live in a time which I believe a time of apostasy. And the New Age versions claim to be easier to read and help the reader to understand. But the editors of the New Age versions not only corrupted the text of the scriptures, but they also polluted the truth of the Word of God. The many alterations of the New Age versions deviate from the inspired word that increase faith in us to words that invite doubt.
Absolutely. Jose, thank you so much for your call. You're on spot on with your thoughts on that. We need to keep looking up and recognize our redemption draweth nigh, but we need to be salt and light, and we need to stick to the word. Dr. Davis, there's a text in the Bible that says all scripture is given. What does it say? Tell us about that text and how that applies today.
Well, that's a command to all believers to know, not to guess. It's giving you a statement that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mm-hmm. And it will help you, it's profitable, mm-hmm. for correction, for reproof, mm-hmm. for instruction, and everything we need to be confronted with in this life. In other words, if I can just play alongside that, just to let you know what it really means. Mm-hmm. Now, can I say this? We don't need all these other translations. You just need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because when you go to John chapter 16, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will bring all things back to your remembrance whatsoever he has said in his word. So if we just have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, praise God, that's his job to illuminate and to interpret anything coming from the scripture that we read from the word of God, so that we will fully understand what it is that God would have us to know. Let me say this in the last part. In Luke chapter 24, after Jesus' resurrection,
yes,
when he was walking down the Emmaus Road with the people who were going along and they didn't understand that he was right there, the Bible said that he opened unto them the scriptures.
Yes.
He didn't go through doctrine. He didn't tell them you need to go to the Baptist church and be baptized in water.
Right.
He didn't waste his time with that. He opened to them the scriptures.
That's right.
And once he got finished with that, they said, "Didn't our hearts burn?" Mm-hmm. That's what it does. It burns away, and I'll say this like the old people used to say it, all sin and all sin desire.
Amen.
It's sanctifying.
Amen.
Sanctifying.
Amen.
Right. Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, as we think about your book, how do we know the Bible is inspired? What is it? There's some that say, well, it's just a book. It was written by men. What do you say about saying that the Bible is inspired in relationship to the truth of the Word of God?
Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
And that's not talking about just the New Testament. The Old Testament is also inspired. David wrote a lot of verses in the Psalms, and he is involved in many of the historical books with words that he said and recorded in the Bible. Well, here's what 2 Samuel 23, verse 2 says. And David wrote these words. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue."
Amen. Yes.
And we believe that Jesus knew about that when he was talking to the religious people of his day, and he was talking with them about the person, his person in relation to David. The question was asked, whose son is Christ? And they said, he's the son of David. And Jesus, of course, affirmed that. But he quoted from Psalm 110, where it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool."
Right. One of the things that we can say in basic summary is our time's so rapidly passing. The basic thing that we can say is so often we have those that are going to give new versions, new translations, as they call it, and it becomes another gospel.
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul dealt with that with the Galatian church in chapter 1 of Galatians, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. There's the word etros, another, a different gospel is what he was saying that you're doing. And I find it fascinating and sad that multitude will do that today. I wanted to take God's word, butchering it, and saying we're going to change it. What that says is that we know more than God. God gave us his word. The word, each word in the word of God is inspired. It is immutable. It is infallible. It is inerrant. And yet somehow, some way, man has decided that we're going to modify it, modulate it, and change it because we want to understand it better, and leaving out the multitudes of things that is so imperative for us to understand. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, as we study the word of God, if we say sola scriptura, scripture only, that's what we ought to do. It ought to be scripture. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's the way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, you might want to ask the question, and in closing, let me say this. You might ask the question, how should we study the word? How should we read the word? How should we interpret the word? Read the word of God literally.
Amen.
Words have meaning. Secondly, study it in context. English grammar calls for a paragraph of thought studied in context. Then study the verse, paragraph, and the chapter, and the entire Bible in view of what that verse says. God's word does not contradict God's word. Study carefully and prayerfully and respectfully because it is the word of God.
Amen.
Therefore, we can say sola scriptura, scripture only. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You pick fresh flowers for the grandkids.
Well, it was really to impress their parents.